Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. San Juan Regional Medical Center is your community hospital, committed to making life better for the communities we are privileged to serve. In fact, better is our mission, improving lives through personalized health and care. What matters most to our patients matters most to us. Offering a comprehensive range of inpatient, outpatient, and emergency care services so you can get the quality care you need right here at home. San Juan Regional Medical Center, celebrating life better here since 1910. It's 8:11. It is Tuesday morning, the 29th day of November, 2022. Good morning, everybody. I'm Scott Micklin. Thanks for tuning in to KSJE. We're at 90.9 FM, of course, here in San Juan County, New Mexico. In Durango, Colorado, you can always tune us in at 103.3 FM. And if you're anywhere else on the planet, you can always go to our website and tune us in at ksje.com. We also want to welcome our viewers who are watching this visual radio program. The video is streaming live this morning out to the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Twitter accounts. You have lots of choices to join us each and every morning. Coming up in just a few moments, my conversation with Dr. Kim Mizell, the superintendent of schools from the Bloomfield School District. She is here, ready to go, and we'll be talking with her in a few more moments here on KSJE this morning. Then later on this hour, we'll be checking in with Amber Francisco from the Farmington Regional Animal Shelter. Amber will be talking about some of the pets available for adoption this week, including Louise. That's the dog you see on the screen right there. Louise is ready to go. We'll learn more about her and some of the other dogs and cats coming up later on this hour here on KSJE. Next hour, of course, it's Roving with the Arts, our classical music program. Mick Hess is here with selections from Mozart this morning. You will hear that after the news at 9:06 on KSJE. We also want to remind you about our Instagram page in addition to Facebook and YouTube and Twitter. And if you're a podcast person, you can subscribe for free to KSJE Podcasts. Wherever you listen to podcasts, maybe discover a new program that you may have missed. Outside our studios here at San Juan College, it is 33 degrees at the moment, but those winds are gusting up to 32 miles per hour, and the winter weather has certainly arrived to our north. Here's a look at Telluride just a few moments ago. Certainly having some snow in Telluride. You can't see the mountain at the end of Colorado Avenue there, and cars making their way on a snowy Tuesday morning in Telluride, where the temperature there is just about, I think, 13 degrees. It's a little bit warmer here. We're at 33 degrees here in Farmington at the moment, and we are expecting, though, a windy and partly cloudy day today. Winds throughout the day today, 39 for a high in Farmington. Maybe some of those snow flurries that are coming down as south as Durango might flutter down into the Farmington and San Juan County areas today, but we're expecting some more sunshine by this afternoon. Those winds, though, will stick with us all day today. Clear skies overnight tonight with a low of 16 degrees, then mostly sunny and warmer weather tomorrow with a high near 50. Partly cloudy skies Wednesday night, the low 26, 57 by Thursday. That's Christmas parade night, so that'll be nice for the parade. 36 Thursday night, 54 for a high on Friday and Saturday, and maybe some rain or snow showers moving in Sunday and into Monday. We'll know more about that as we get a bit closer, of course. Well, let me introduce my guest who is here with me this morning. As I mentioned, the superintendent of schools with the Bloomfield School District, Dr. Kim Mizell, is here this morning for her regular visit with me. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming in. Always appreciate it. You were giving me a first-hand weather report as you walked in, and with the winds and everything else that was buffeting you around this morning.
Pretty intense out there.
Yeah, so it's supposed to be windy all day, as we said. But good to have you, and big congratulations to Bloomfield and the Bloomfield Bobcats and anyone who's an honorary Bobcat after this past weekend. There were a lot of us.
Yes, it's a great time to be a Bobcat, that's for sure.
Right. First time. Go ahead. I don't want to take away your...
Oh, that's okay. No, we have been celebrating. The boys got recognized at the city council meeting, and we're probably going to have a parade and I guess the country club is going to be catering a meal for them.
Nice.
So they're going to do an award ceremony and celebration there. And
very good. And so, the reason that all the celebration for folks who've been living under a rock since Saturday is because
we're the state champions.
Bloomfield Bobcats, the state champions. Congratulations. Yeah. And there they are. We want to show all their pictures if we can. And first time in 56 years, the Blue Trophy comes home to Bloomfield.
Right, right. In my 8 years as superintendent, we've been to the state championship three times. This time we brought it home.
So, right. Yeah. So very exciting.
It was very exciting.
And it was a home game, which makes it even more exciting, right? So
perfect day. I got to hand the trophy out because I'm on the NMAA board. So that was a exciting thing for me to be able to do. And it's just a wonderful day for the whole community, the whole situation. That team has fought real hard. They've worked through a lot of adversity. We've had several deaths with a coach and family members. And so it was a wonderful thing to end the season, and it was a great season. I enjoyed going to all the games and being a part of that process, and they're always they include me in a lot of activities, and so I really enjoyed the whole experience, and just like everybody else, the celebration's still continuing.
Apparently. That's wonderful. True. It sounds like with some catered dinners and some other things coming for those members and coaches at the football team. So congratulations to them. As you mentioned, again, a hard-fought season, I think, and nice to see the teamwork and the team pulling together, and, of course, the leadership by the coaches and things, too.
Right. Yeah, and I think this group of young men, they're very humble, in my opinion. They're a cohesive group. I like that their mannerisms and the way they act. They're appreciative of anything that people do for them. They're kind of an outstanding group as far as their character, I would say, and I'm very proud of them.
A nice representation of Bloomfield.
Right.
And Bloomfield schools.
Right, yeah.
There
you
go. Well, congratulations. Go Bobcats. And nice to see for the first time in 56 years.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing.
Yes, very good. Well, I can see why you're smiling so broadly this morning, Dr. Mizell, because it is a great thing to see. But there is some other stuff to talk about, too. Your enrollment in Bloomfield is up this year.
Our enrollment's up. We are up about 180 students. Majority of it's happening in the lower grade levels. We added a first grade classroom to Central Primary. We're looking at having to add a second grade there. And then we have a kindergarten classroom that we're adding. So we're seeing growth in the lower grade levels, which is always a real positive thing for the community and for the schools. So we're glad to see that. It's been about 4 years. We've had a declining enrollment for a while now. And so seeing an increase is a positive thing for us.
Right. And that makes my brain kind of go to, you know, economic development and growth. And I mean, are we seeing any, I know, hard maybe to predict, right? But that means if there's more children in the school district, there's maybe more adults living in the community, I suppose.
Well, I kind of tend to watch the traffic in Bloomfield, and I've just seen an increase in oil field traffic. So something's going on with natural gas, and seems to be a lot busier than usual. They'll go to a farmer's market to get their morning stuff or the gas station, and
activities up.
Yeah,
is what you're noticing.
Like it to me, so
which is positive, and you're seeing it in the schools. So I guess that's some other real actual data, at least to show that there's more kids going to school for sure. So, and the fact that they're younger kids, I know, makes planning for you and your staff something to watch as well, because you hope that then those children will move up through the grades, and then, you know, that will certainly, they'll be with you through high school.
That's right, and the momentum is good. You know, like with the football program, we have YAFL competition, and, you know, they're building programs all year long, and the younger students have done real well. Our junior high took the district championship. So when people start seeing that positive energy and good things happening in a community, they want to be part of it. So could be part of the attraction as well.
Right, right. So, well, yeah. Congratulations. Very exciting again, too. And this equates to, I don't know how much more additional revenue for Bloomfield Schools, but of course, when your funding's based on enrollment, that does hit the bottom line, too, doesn't it?
Yes, yes. It'd be a nice increase for us. But with it, we've had to hire additional teachers.
Sure, you're spending it.
You know, yeah, we're having to spend it before we get it.
So. Mm-hmm, true, but that is something that's important to know, right? And that will, I guess, be used next year for the budgetary numbers. Reasons and yes. things, these enrollment numbers that you're reporting this morning. So
they do the 40th, 80th, and 120th day average. And so it's kind of, and then we have a count coming up for bus riding, and so I want to encourage everyone to put their kids on the bus because that also gives us additional funding. I know a lot of parents like to drop their kids off for school, but I want to encourage them, definitely put your kids on the bus.
Right, for this particular
yes,
measurement time. Yes. When is that coming? Is that coming up this month or next month?
Yes, it's coming up, I think, in next week.
Must be December, early December. So, mm-hmm. Okay, there you go. My guest this morning, Dr. Kim Mizell, is here from Bloomfield Schools. We are celebrating a couple of things this morning. First of all, the Bloomfield Bobcats winning the state championship, of course, and increased enrollment in Bloomfield Schools for the first time in about 4 years. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting to see. And could that be maybe some of the maybe remnants of the pandemic, maybe people are starting to send their kids back to school and things along that line too, perhaps?
We are seeing some of that, especially in the early childhood center. Mm-hmm. You know, they're putting their kids back in school. So could be part of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a lot of variables there.
I'm sure. Very true. Very true. Well, let's talk about some of the other things that are going on. I mentioned you mentioned to me your strategic planning process that is continuing. And so I want to ask you a bit about that.
So we've been putting together community members, students, teachers, principals, and cabinet members, and then also school board members. And we just are in the first phase of the strategic planning process. So we have a general idea of what do they want to focus in on for the next 3 years. We do 3-year planning. With the pandemic, one thing I learned is 5 years is a little bit out there.
Right. Okay,
so
sure.
3-year plan. So we're putting together the plan for the next 3 years of what the district would like to see happen in the direction of where they want to go with classroom instruction, with programs, opportunity for students. So it's a good process to go through. And so we'll have a published document probably in February for that, for the next school year.
Got you. And this is something, of course, that every district, I think, probably does. Maybe they go 5 years or maybe 3, who knows. But
a lot of them do it, but not all.
Right. I guess it would be important to do, I would think, when you're looking at long-term investments maybe or how you want to get from A to B and how you get there and what you need to do along the way, I suppose.
I look at it as kind of my marching orders from a school board as well on what areas to focus in on and the funding needs to be applied there and how we can support the students and the community. So I'm kind of goal and task oriented, so it helps steer what we're doing.
Right. And you mentioned some of the things that this group is looking at, right? From everything from curriculum to programs to what you can offer to students and things like that. And some other things as well, maybe like construction or other bigger projects and things like that that sometimes hit that list too?
Yes. One thing that we're really hoping to do in the near future is starting career technical CTE programs, which we would like to build a facility where we have plumbing, HVAC, and welding and carpentry added to our, we already have a strong welding program, but it would be all in one facility and building similar to the tiny homes that they have here at San Juan College.
Right.
As a project, and then also our FFA program, our Future Farmers of America program, growing that, getting a greenhouse. We're going to build a livestock small barn facility for students to do animal husbandry and just kind of growing some programs that are related to our area. So we're hopeful that during the legislative session, there will be money allocated for that.
Right.
And we'll apply for all of it.
Sure.
As much as we can get.
Right. Well, of course. And you have a lot of students that are interested in these types of things as well,
yeah.
right? Because of the area that Bloomfield is in, maybe mm-hmm. some of the family connections and things along that. It seems like I know the agricultural roots run deep in Bloomfield.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're a ranching and farming community along with natural gas. I mean, those are the key key economic drivers for the community, and we were contacted by the certified industrial certified labor union for the welding or plumbing and HVAC system, and they want to partner with us, and we did receive a very generous donation from Gasco. They provided us with welding equipment and things like that. So we have some nice partnerships that we can really develop and get some internships with for students their senior year. So we're looking to expand in that area.
Right.
So, and then I would like to see teacher housing as another thing, but that might be down the road. We'll see.
Right.
We'll see what funding is available.
Sure. But that might help some of the recruitment challenges that you sometimes have,
right.
I guess,
like yeah.
trying to get teachers to come in.
Yeah, I think it does help. The housing issues in Bloomfield are kind of difficult, and they struggle to find a place to live. So we would like to expand on that as well.
Gotcha.
So,
gotcha. Very yeah. good. You mentioned the legislature, and of course, we have a 60-day session that's coming up in 2023. And so they'll be dealing with budgets and bills and things like that. There's mm-hmm. some things that you're hoping that they hear and maybe take action on. One of those is some of that career and technical education that
yes.
you were talking about.
That's a big push for the entire Superintendents Association. We all really want to develop those programs. We know what's happening in our nation. Our infrastructure is kind of falling apart, and we need to develop a workforce that can go out and fix things and work out there. I don't know if any of you have had to hire a plumber, but they make a very good living.
No kidding, right?
Better than most college graduates. So our thinking is to give kids additional opportunities. Of course, the partnership with San Juan College is always nice. They have the dual credit programs that our students can take. And so we're hoping to really get that up and going a little bit better in Bloomfield. We're not as well-versed as some of the other districts. We've kind of struggled in that area because we've been so dependent on grant funds. So this year, if there's legislative money, we're going to go for it. So.
Got you. And some of that money, I guess, could be used for transportation and other things when you're talking about like dual credit of having kids
yes.
come here to San Juan College to take mm-hmm. classes or what have you. There's
right.
a lot of other moving parts yeah. to all this, right?
Right. There's a lot of components that you have to coordinate for all of that. But
right.
We'd like to see the dual credit pushed into our schools where we would have a classroom designated for a course or whatever and, have someone in there to monitor the student behaviors and stuff. So we're looking at different options.
Gotcha.
Because getting them over here and then back becomes problematic, especially with the lack of bus drivers. So
that's another issue, right, that you're facing and a lot of districts are facing
right.
with a lack of bus drivers. And so what has that meant for Bloomfield? Have you had to double up on some routes or
we
some
had
things?
Triple
up.
Routes, yes. But we are finally getting to a normal place with our transportation. We've put several people through training, and we're able to back off all those routes. And so we're getting in a better place, I put it that way. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. But it was a challenging
oh, yeah.
start to the school
it
year
was a
is what it sounds
situation.
Like.
Situation, when you have limited number of drivers and then athletics and activities, we're having a hard time finding people to take them to the events. And so it was stressful. So,
right.
Yeah.
But now it's better.
It's good.
Better.
It's getting better.
Okay. Very good. That's good to know. Also at the legislature, you mentioned some of the other funding. We talked earlier before we came on the air this morning that revenues for our state seem to be in a good place. As we mentioned, I think oil field and gas field activity looks to be up. Prices certainly are up for oil and gas. We did a show not too long ago about kind of the future of natural gas here. And I think things are looking better, mm-hmm. certainly with the price of natural gas. And so with that, there should be money, I guess, to go out to schools and things like that. I don't hear any doom and gloom or things like that about the budget this year.
No, I haven't been hearing any of that. Basically, they're trying to figure out, I know they're going to spend quite a bit in early childhood. They also got the approval through the election.
The voters approved.
Yeah.
Using some of the permanent fund for early childhood, right?
So I think that will be expanding in our state. And we'll see what happens with all of it. You know, the legislative movement and direction of everything that we do is driven by oil and gas revenue, actually. And people
to our state, that's true.
That's, you know, it's huge.
It's a big
driver.
Chunk of the general fund.
Right. And this governor's been lucky because she took over when it was a booming scenario. I've seen it in other times when it was not so great and they were going to claw back our cash reserves, which is
basically, we've talked about that. I remember those conversations.
Our savings for rainy day roofs that cost $1 million that you have to repair. You know, it's just one thing that is a problem right now for many of our districts is the supply chain,
mm-hmm.
and also finding contractors that are willing to come in and do the work. They're so overwhelmed with everyone trying to utilize a lot of the money that we receive from the federal government that it's hard to lock someone in to do the projects. So we've faced that challenge as well. And getting like HVAC systems for the ventilation process and all of that has been delayed. So we're kind of stressed about spending all the money that we receive because we're running out of time.
It's a deadline. There's a deadline to spend it.
Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So
good luck.
We have one year.
That's an interesting problem to have.
Yeah.
I suppose, right?
But who would have thought that we would be dealing with that?
That's right. Know?
But it has played out quite interestingly, and it's very challenging.
Yeah, yeah. I want to pick up a little bit about the early childhood education mm-hmm. and some of the focus on that in our state. There seems to have been a lot of focus on it. Certainly the voters have approved spending a lot of money, I think, towards this. And as it was touted, I think a lot of the proponents would say this could be a real game changer for some of these very poor areas of our state, of which mm-hmm. we have many, to try to get these kids into some of these early childhood programs and get them ready for school and succeed better at school at those very young ages. Is that something right. that you feel will be helpful? Are you crossing your fingers?
You know, I think anytime you can get children into that learning environment and get them socializing and interacting with other children, with the teacher, the classroom environment, it really helps with, you know, them through their entire school experience. So I kind of have mixed emotions about some of it because some of these little guys are 3 years old, are not quite potty trained sometimes. So concerned there, you
sure.
know,
sure.
about that scenario. I mean, because
when maybe not all kids are ready
right,
for that.
And you get into the institution of early childhood and I always feel like the home environment is a good place as well, as long as it's nurturing and educational and, you know, really
right.
helping those children. But some kids, that's what they need.
Mm-hmm.
And then also I can see there's a huge need for, like, if your child, a lot of parents with their first child, they don't realize that their child's behind or delayed. And those children need additional support to get a jump start on their school experience. So I think it serves a great purpose, but it's not for everyone, you know. And I know that in the small communities, there's like waiting lists to get these kids into these programs. And so it does need to be expanded on in the rural communities, which becomes difficult because sometimes those communities aren't necessarily growing, but they have a need for their community. And so it's a management thing. And like, you know, student numbers, I've seen this happen where they opened up these facilities and the numbers didn't warrant keeping it open.
Right. So then it's
closed. So then you get into facilities sitting empty. So you have to be real careful about how you expand and manage it. I think it's important to assess the situation, and before all the funding goes out and they just build these facilities and they're sitting empty because they can't staff them, they don't have enough students to support the staffing. It has to be a financially, physically responsible effort. And when you're rating our funds, it has. I do have a take pause with that.
Because,
you know, crisis happens in states, and I was a little bit worried. I'm always on the business side of things, so hopefully it's managed well. I think it serves a good purpose, and early childhood is a good thing, and it helps kids, but hopefully the way it's going to be monitored and managed is the right way.
Right. So. Understood. I think that's a well thought out response to this, but I'm hopeful, I think as you are, that this will provide some positive things for younger kids in our state.
Right.
If done correctly, I think is your warning.
Right. And there's a lot of community partnerships with privately owned early childhood centers, mm-hmm. which I think that is much better than it used to be, where they're having to follow a curriculum and support the kids in a structured way. So I think that is good. So there's been some improvements in that realm as well.
Good. So. Well, that's good to hear. And I think we're all hopeful, as I said, that this will be a good thing for kids. And
of course, I'm sure that's why all the voters voted for it.
I would think so, right. And but now the proof will be in the performance, I suppose, as they say, right?
Yeah, when you've been around for a while, you see, I saw this with like healthcare centers, mm-hmm. where we expanded and we had a bunch of them and now they're sitting empty. You know, in these rural communities. So I always worry about that. I see things that have occurred over time.
Right.
And so hopefully this is done well.
Right. I hear you. I think that's well thought out and well noted again. And certainly I think a lot of these governmental things are well-meaning, but they don't always come out that way as we watch them happen, but our fingers are crossed and we're hoping for the best, because we know there are a lot of families in our state where both parents are working and they've got young kids and they're off to daycare center or what have you, which is fine, but we kind of want to be able to be prepared for school when they're ready to go to kindergarten.
And that's an expensive process for a lot of parents, so
true.
I feel for working families. I've always been a working mother, and I just didn't have that luxury either. And so I was very thankful to have a babysitter that was a certified daycare person, and she was kind to educators.
So, nice.
She liked to have the teacher's children because she could take the holidays just like we did.
Right. There you go. See?
So that's kind of a little niche there.
That's true.
If someone opens up a center that could have teachers' kids, but I was blessed in that way, and but I know how hard it can be for families. So.
Right, very true. Well, we were just about out of time this morning, Dr. Mizell, but of course, and we're just back from Thanksgiving break, and we've got winter break coming up. We won't probably visit in December because that'll be right at the end of the month, but do you have any advice for parents and maybe grandparents or guardians of kids over the winter break when they're away from school for a few weeks to keep that brain going?
Right. I would say read a lot of your holiday stories. Take time to sit down and watch the old Christmas movies. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but you have to have conversation with your children and talk about what's happening and talk about, give them language. I think when you're talking to your child, even at an infant stage, I practiced this with my own daughter. I said, when I was changing her diaper, I said, give me your left foot, give me your right foot, you know, and I did that routine with her, and she was talking at a very young age, because I made my husband as well. We really reinforced giving them language to support their learning, and that's what we struggle with some children, that they come in with very little language. And it can be in Spanish or Navajo or English, but give it to them, because if they have a language, we can really jumpstart them with teaching them to read and to understand what they're reading and move forward. Right now, kids seem to be coming in with very little conversational interaction. I don't know if it's a pandemic situation or lack of socialization, but I think it's most important to talk to your children, talk to them.
Right.
And talk about what you're doing. If you're making hot chocolate, go through the recipe and tell them what you're doing, the steps. Steps provide sequences of events, and that helps with reading and sequence in a reading process.
Right.
All of it's connected.
True.
With brain development and helping them to understand their world.
Right. Because as you're talking to them, they are hopefully talking back to you and developing those sentence structures and all those other skills, right, of putting their thoughts into words to tell you what they mean.
And I used to do this on a regular basis. Tell me about your day, and I want you to start with what happened first, second, third, you know, fourth. And I'd have my kids tell me their day instead of saying, fine, it was good. No, what'd you do the first thing in the morning? You know, of course, I probably drove them crazy, but I think it really helped with them recalling.
Right.
You know, so there's a lot of really easy tools the parents can use with their children, and I just think reinforce that every day with your child.
Very good. That's good advice, I think. And there you go. Well, we are out of time. Dr. Mizell, thank you for coming in, as always.
Thank you.
I'm going to send you back out into the wind. I'm sorry about that.
That's
but
okay.
Have a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and we'll
you
see you
too.
In January.
All right. I'll be back.
Okay. Hope
you
will. Thank you very much. That's Bloomfield Superintendent Dr. Kim Mizell. She's going to go back and polish up that blue trophy, I know, and put it on display at
wearing
the schools.
Blue today.
And she's wearing blue for that reason. That's true. Thank you very much. Dr. Kim Mizell, my guest here on KSJE.
KSJE and San Juan College present the Student Success Coaching Tip of the Week. Week 15, don't cram. While it may seem like a good idea to learn an entire semester's worth of information in one night, it's not an effective study habit, and it can cause a lot of unnecessary stress. Instead, study a little bit of information every day for at least 20 to 30 minutes. You'll likely remember more later, and you'll feel calm and prepared when it comes to exam time. The Student Success Coaching Tip of the Week, presented by KSJE and the Student Achievement Center at San Juan College. KSJE is supported by the Farmington Civic Center, presenting A Christmas Carol, Friday, December 23rd at 7:30 p.m., the true spirit of Christmas in this production filled with haunting special effects and heartfelt sentiment. A powerful story of redemption, Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol has enchanted audiences the world over with its simple message of holiday joy. Friday, December 23rd at 7:30 p.m. at the Farmington Civic Center.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.